and locked his teeth onto her tool belt. At last, he had caught his prey. Violently, wildly, he thrashed the robot from side to side. Roz tried to squirm free, but Shadow's grip was tight. There was only one thing to do. She reached down beside the wolf's snarling jaws and fumbled with the buckle. And suddenly, she was loose. Shadow staggered backward, the belt dangling from his mouth as Roz stomped away. Brightbill had been circling overhead this whole time, and now he squawked desperate warnings to his mother.
Look out for those rocks! Shadow is gaining on you! There are buildings ahead!
Roz burst through a row of hedges and onto the main street of a seaside village. It was still early, and it was still foggy, and Roz was halfway through the village before anyone saw her. A man had just left for his morning walk when the robot and the wolf came galloping down the street. The man decided his walk could wait, and he hurried back inside. Shadow swiped at Roz's heels, but the robot leaped away. She soared over a house and landed on the other side. The wolf dashed around the yard, only to see her leaping away once more. This time, Roz landed in shallow water. Waves gently sloshed against her ankles. The robot backed into the ocean up to her waist, and then automatically stopped. Her survival instincts wouldn't let her go any farther.
"There's nowhere left to run," Shadow growled as he prowled onto the beach. "Either fight or swim."
Roz was trapped. Her body lurched forward and backward as her computer brain struggled to find an escape. And then Brightbill came to her rescue.
"This way, Mama."
Roz didn't hesitate. She launched herself up from the shallows toward her son's voice. Salt water streamed off her body as she soared through the air. Then her feet pounded into the sand beside Brightbill, who was perched atop an old rowboat. By the time Shadow arrived, our friends were rowing away from shore. The wolf's face twisted with rage, and he howled from the water's edge.
"You made a fool of me, Roz. My pack and my mate have left me. Now I'm just a worthless lone wolf, all because of you."
Roz felt sorry for Shadow. She never meant for any of this to happen. But she had her own troubles. The robot's greatest fear was deep water, and now she was paddling through the waves and out to sea. Chapter 63. The Rowboat. The sun was shining. The fog was thinning. The robot was rowing. Roz was no thief, and she felt bad about taking that old rowboat. But judging from its appearance, it had been abandoned years ago. She hoped it wouldn't be missed. Anyone who's rowed a boat knows you're supposed to face backward. That can make it tough to see where you're going. This wasn't a problem for Roz, however. She started off rowing normally, and after several strokes of the oars, her head spun around until she was facing forward. And what she saw was blue sky and dark waves and a sliver of green on the horizon.
"We're in a bay," said Brightbill, swooping down into the boat. "To the north is that distant coastline. To the east is open water. To the west is a seaport. And to the south is the village and the wolf."
It seemed the travelers had no choice but to cross the bay. Luckily, Roz could row long and fast. Brightbill settled in for the ride, and the robot's mechanical muscles started pumping. She pulled and pulled and pulled on the oars, and the rowboat glided through the waves. Roz was nervous. Time and again, the robot's survival instincts had stopped her from going into deep water. Now, an old rowboat was all that separated her from the murky depths. She couldn't wait to feel solid ground beneath her feet again. As they rowed deeper into the bay, the waves got larger and rougher,
Giant swells of water rolled in from the open ocean and started tossing the boat around like a toy. The waves finally became too much for Bright Bill. He spread his wings, lifted up on the breeze, and anxiously looked at the choppy surf ahead.
"Row faster," he squawked. "I don't know how much more the boat can take."
Roz tried to power through. She rowed faster and faster until the boat was skimming across the water. Too fast, the left oar snapped, then the right, and suddenly the boat was at the mercy of the waves.
"Hold on, Mama," cried the goose. "Here comes a big one."
The rowboat was pulled up the side of a towering wall of water. It teetered at the top, and then the boat went crashing down the other side with such force that the whole thing splintered apart. Roz felt water surging up around her. She clung to the debris and kicked her legs, but she wouldn't stay afloat for long. The robot began to sink. The goose floated above. The ocean rolled and sloshed. Then there was a sudden burst of air from somewhere nearby. Bright Bill looked toward the noise, but saw only sea spray drifting on the breeze. And when he looked back to his mother, she was dipping below the surface.
"What can I do, Mama?" Bright Bill cried from the air. "Tell me what to do."
"There is nothing more you can do," came Roz's gargling voice. "I am sorry."
The young goose could only watch as the ocean dragged the robot down, down, down. Chapter 64. The Sea Creature. Bright Bill hovered on the wind and watched his poor mother sinking into the depths. He could still see her body glimmering brightly against the darkness, but she was fading fast. The goose closed his eyes, hoping this was all just a bad dream. He heard the distant horns of ships by the seaport. He heard buoys clanging in the harbor. He heard ocean waves churning and frothing, louder and louder, and louder and louder. The goose opened his eyes and saw the ocean bulging upward. A giant sea creature was rising from the deep. It breached the surface and sent waves rolling away. The creature had a large mouth and long fins and a wide back that curved down into the water. There was a loud burst, and mist shot up from a blowhole. As you might have guessed, listener, that giant creature was a whale. More of the whale emerged from the darkness until something glimmered in the sunlight. It was Roz. She was sprawled across the whale's back, wet, limp, and lifeless. Chapter 65. The Whale. The whale swam along the surface of the ocean, keeping our robot safely above the water, gently moving her away from the rough waves. Bright Bill couldn't believe what he was seeing. Once the shock wore off, he fluttered down to the whale's back and leaned over his mother. There was no life in her eyes or her body. So the goose did the only thing he could think of. Click. Roz's eyes began to glow. She uttered some human noises. And then, in the language of the animals, the robot said, "Oh, Bright Bill, am I happy to see you?" The goose squawked with joy and hugged his mother's face. But she didn't move. She couldn't move. The robot had lost the use of her limbs. There were a few tense minutes and a few nervous glances. But as the sun beat down and the wind rushed over, Roz felt her body drying out. Slowly, gradually, power returned to her arms, then her legs, and then she sat up and hugged her son. Bright Bill breathed a sigh of relief.
"Mama, when you disappeared below the water, I thought you were gone forever."
"So did I," said Roz. As I sank deeper and deeper, The ocean squeezed my body tighter and tighter. I lost control of my legs and my arms. The last thing I remember was a huge shape swimming toward me, and then I automatically shut down.
That huge shape was a whale, squawked the goose. We're riding on her back right now.
A low moan rumbled up through the whale's body. She splashed the water with her fins and took long, wheezing breaths and sprayed mist high into the air. Roz paid close attention to the whale's behavior and understood what she was saying. The whale's name was Coral, and she was thrilled to meet our friends. She explained that a flock of geese had flown over the bay and regaled the coastal birds with the amazing story of the wild robot and her son, the goose. The coastal birds shared the story with the fish and the dolphins and anyone who would listen. In time, the story spread to every creature in the bay. When Coral saw the robot in that old rowboat and the goose flying overhead, she knew it had to be Roz and Brightbill. So she swam behind them in case she could be helpful, and it was a good thing she did. As Coral ferried our friends across the bay, the waves grew smaller and the coastline grew larger. Houses poked out from the trees. Sunbathers relaxed on the rocks. Boats motored away from the piers. With so many humans around, Roz had to be careful. She lay flat against Coral's back while Brightbill flew ahead and scouted out the coastline. The goose directed the whale to a quiet, empty cove, and soon the robot was standing on dry land again. Roz asked if there was some way she could repay Coral for saving her life, but the whale was just happy to help. She winked one of her enormous eyes, and then she sank beneath the waves. Our friends marched inland, feeling lucky and grateful. But as they thought of the journey still to come, their good feelings gradually turned gloomy. Roz had nearly died crossing that bay. At some point, to get back to the island, she would have to cross an entire ocean. Chapter 66 The New Land.
Zoom! Vroom! Shoom!
Automobiles were gliding up and down the road, passing fields and forests and clusters of houses. None of the passengers had any idea that a robot and a goose were watching from the weeds. Our friends had been hiding there for some time, waiting for the traffic to clear. But the automobiles kept coming. Roz noticed a drainage pipe that crossed under the road. The pipe was dark and grimy, but the travelers were getting desperate. Moving through this new land was difficult. There were more humans and robots and buildings and roads than ever before. Roz and Brightbill traveled far out of their way in wide circles just to avoid small towns. As the days passed, the scenery looked more familiar to Brightbill. He remembered flying over these lands on his first migration. He knew the towns would only get larger and closer together the farther they went. It would be much faster to sneak through the towns than to keep going around them. So, as night fell, Roz put on fresh camouflage, and with her son watching from the sky, she crept into a town. Chapter 67 The Town. Pookie was a big little dog. Her body was round, her legs were short, her ears were long. Although the dog looked funny, she was serious about protecting her home. She slapped her front paws on the windowsill and stared into the night to make sure all was well outside. But all was not well. A new clump of weeds had mysteriously sprouted in the yard. Pookie needed to take a closer look. The dog whined by the back door until someone let her out. Then she scurried across the porch, down the steps, and over to the mysterious weeds. As Pookie approached, a raspy growl sounded in her throat.
"Where did these weeds come from?"
she said to herself, sniffing.
"They weren't here this afternoon."
The weeds rustled in the breeze, and that was enough to set Pookie off. The dog barked and barked and barked, and then, astonishingly, the weeds spoke to her in a clear, calm voice. "I am sorry if I disturbed you," said the weeds. Pookie stopped barking. "I was hoping to pass through without being seen," said the weeds. "But you saw me. You are a very good guard dog." Pookie resumed barking. "No, no, no, shh," said the weeds. "Please stop barking." But there was no stopping Pookie. The clump of weeds decided to move. Like some sort of monster, the weeds rose up on two legs and leaped over the fence into the neighboring yard. Felix had heard Pookie barking next door, and when the weedy monster landed in his yard, he started barking as well. So the monster kept going, leaping fences from one yard to the next. Every house in the neighborhood seemed to have a dog, and they all began barking about the weedy monster. Listener, you and I know the monster was actually our robot in disguise. But the dogs never did figure out what happened that night. Roz finally slunk into the shadows behind a school building and listened as the chorus of dogs settled down.
"That didn't go very well,"
said the goose as he landed beside his mother. "No, it did not," said the robot.
"This will only be tougher in daylight."
"I know. I will have to try something else." Early the next morning, the sun started rising, automobiles started driving, robots started running errands. However, one of those robots was not like the rest. Roz had picked every speck of dirt from her body, and now she blended in with all the normal robots going about their normal morning routines. Our robot was hiding in plain sight. Roz marched through town, turning left and right down the streets, as Brightbill watched from above. Along the way, she passed a wide variety of robots, all going about their business. There was even another Rozum robot marching around, who looked identical to our Roz, except she was shinier and had a different unit number. It occurred to Rozum Unit 7134 that if anyone noticed her unit number, it might bring a swift response from the Ricos. But as she continued past houses and shops and humans and robots, there didn't seem to be any danger. Everything was going smoothly, until she heard an airship flying toward the town. Our robot felt something like dread as she waited for a sleek white ship to appear. If the Ricos found her now, there would be no escape. But the ship that appeared wasn't white, it was black, and it flew over without stopping. Roz was safe, and suddenly she was dreaming about airships. Returning to the island would be so easy with a ship. She and Brightbill would climb in, fire up the engines, and be home in no time at all. But it was an impossible dream. There was no safe way for our robot to get an airship. She had to find some other way home. First, she had to find her way out of this town. So Roz focused on her surroundings and continued marching along the sidewalks, just like a normal robot. Chapter 68. The Station. At the edge of town, where the houses stopped and the countryside began, was a small train station. Two platforms sat on either side of the tracks. Humans and robots were standing around, waiting for the next train to arrive. Nobody paid any attention to our robot as she calmly marched past. When Roz was safely out of sight, she ducked into the woods where Brightbill was hiding. The goose opened his mouth to speak, but the station bells started ringing. Speeding down the tracks was a passenger train. A whistle blew, the train gently braked, and a minute later, it came to a smooth stop at the station. Passengers burst out of the train cars, while others began stepping aboard. The first 9 cars were reserved for humans and had wide windows and comfortable seats. The only robots allowed in those cars were service robots, who brought food and drinks to the human passengers. All other robots were confined to the windowless car at the end of the train.
"Where's it going?" whispered Bright Bill as he peeked out from the brush.
"The sign says this is the express train to the city," whispered Roz. The goose turned to his mother.
"We have to go past the city to get home. This train could save us a lot of time. We should hop on."
The robot turned to her son. "I do not think that is a good idea. It is too risky."
"Ma, I watched you walk through town, and no one even noticed you. We'll be fine. Let's follow those robots into the last car. I'll find a hiding spot, and we'll be in the city before you know it."
Roz had questions. "How large is the city? Do you know where to go? What if we get lost?"
"Relax, Ma. My pigeon friend Greybeak lives there. She'll be happy to help us."
A voice called out from the loudspeaker, and the last couple of passengers hurried along the platform.
"I'm going to check it out," said Bright Bill.
With a quick flurry of wing beats, he fluttered out from the brush and onto the roof of the last train car. The goose lowered his long neck and looked through the open door. Then he looked back and waved for his mother to join him. A whistle blew, and Bright Bill waved faster. Roz had little choice, so she slipped out of the trees and marched onto the platform.
"In here, Ma!"
Bright Bill pointed down to the doorway beneath him. Everything about this situation made our robot nervous. Her survival instincts were tingling. Roz looked up at her son on the roof, and then she stepped through the train door. But before Bright Bill could flutter in behind her, the doors slid closed, and the train began to move. Chapter 69. The Train. Our robot felt something like panic as the train pulled away from the station. She wanted to break down the door, leap from the train, and find her son. What could Roz do? She had to act like a normal robot. She had to pretend that nothing was wrong. The train car's interior was a long, windowless room filled with rows and rows of robots. The robots were all facing forward, all standing still. If not for their softly glowing eyes, you might think they were statues. Some of the robots were perfect and new, but most had scrapes and dents. None more than ROSM Unit 7134. Roz walked down the aisle and stood in the last row, and the train started to accelerate. Faster and faster it went until it reached its cruising speed. Then it hummed along the tracks, occasionally swinging left or right as it snaked around a curve. With no windows, Roz could only wonder how far she was traveling. She could only wonder about the scenery outside. Mostly, she wondered about her son. Was Bright Bill okay? How would she find him? Would they ever see each other again? Of course they would. Bright Bill was smart and resourceful. The goose would simply follow the train tracks into the city. Then he would find his pigeon friend, Greybeak, and she would help them reunite. Roz just had to stay out of trouble. Time crawled by. The robots gently swayed with the motion of the train. Finally, there was an announcement from the loudspeaker.
"Next and final stop, Center City Station."
A whistle blew, and the train braked and slowed and came to a smooth stop. The door slid open, and the robots began filing out. Chapter 70. The March Through the City. The main hall of Center City Station was enormous. Wide columns stretched up to an arched ceiling. A huge electronic screen flickered with train schedules. The whole place was bustling with humans and robots, and everyone seemed to know exactly where they were going. Everyone except Roz. There was our robot standing still in the station while commuters hurried past. She was trying to calculate her next move, and she had to think quickly. You see, a normal robot would never loiter there for long. Roz needed to do something, anything, and when a crew of Rozum robots marched past in single file, she could think of no better plan than to join the end of the line and pretend to be one of them. She followed the crew through a set of doors, and suddenly they were outside. The city was a blur of activity. Automobiles hummed down the streets. Robots marched along the sidewalks. Humans talked and laughed and shouted. Buildings towered overhead, and above them, airships buzzed across the sky. Airships. For a moment, Roz was dreaming again about how easily she could get home with an airship. But reality came crashing back when a white triangular ship darted over. It was gone in a flash, disappearing behind the rooftops. But that was all it took for the robot's survival instincts to flare. Were the Ricos searching for Roz or going about some other business? Roz tried to focus on her immediate surroundings. She was still marching behind that crew of robots. With each step, she grew more nervous that they'd notice her tagging along. She wanted to break away. And as they started weaving and shuffling through a crowd of tourists, Roz slowed and stopped, and the robot crew continued on without her. Now Roz was on her own, but she didn't know what to do or where to go. When in doubt, Brightbill had always guided her north. So, our robot set off through the city, in that direction. While marching northward, Roz passed beautiful boulevards and architecture and gardens and art. And yet, she had to ignore it all. She had to act like a normal robot, and a normal robot would never wander the city admiring beautiful things. Wherever Roz looked, she saw normal robots concentrating on their tasks and on nothing else. They ran errands, delivered food, swept sidewalks, cleaned windows, fixed machines, built glorious structures, and did more jobs than you can possibly imagine. Most walked on two legs, but some rolled on wheels or slid up and down the sides of buildings on tracks. The city was a glittering modern metropolis where humans lived in luxury, all thanks to the tireless work of robots. Roz was marching when the sunlight faded and the city lights brightened. She was marching when the humans went in for the night and the robots continued to work. She was marching when the sun came up and the humans filtered out of their buildings. A new day began in the city, and there was Roz, marching north, blending in, anxiously hoping her son would appear. Chapter 71. The Observations. Sunlight sparkled off the skyline. New buildings were constructed. Old buildings were taken down. Cargo ships docked in the harbor. Delivery trucks unloaded crates. Bright signs flickered with advertisements. Robots worked behind the scenes. Children played in parks. Adults ate and drank at outdoor cafes. The city pulsed with energy. A wild robot observed it all. Chapter 72. The Police. A pair of police robots stood on the sidewalk, while foot traffic glided past them. Their heads swiveled back and forth as they scanned the crowd with their glowing eyes. The police looked menacing, but they sounded friendly. Whenever a human walked by, they'd say, "Have a nice day," in a perky voice. There were a lot of humans walking by, so the police kept repeating their words. "Have a nice day. Have a nice day. Have a nice day." Our robot was not having a nice day. She was alone in the city. She was worried about her son, and she wanted nothing to do with the police. But she couldn't avoid them. If she turned suddenly, she might draw their attention. So she kept her eyes forward and calmly marched along with the other robots on the street. Roz may have looked calm on the outside, but on the inside her thoughts were scrambled. Were the police dangerous? Did they work with the Ricos? Was she about to be caught? It seemed as if the police were watching Roz. Their eyes lingered on her for a second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds, and then they continued scanning the crowd. Our robot felt something like relief when she made it past without incident. She went on her way, just another robot on the street, and those perky voices gradually faded behind her. "Have a nice day. Have a nice day. Have a nice day." Chapter 73. The Pigeons. In the very heart of the city was a great swath of greenery. The old park. It had rolling lawns and flower gardens and dense wooded areas. It had lakes and ponds and fountains. It had playgrounds and benches and miles of cobblestone pathways. It also had pigeons. Thousands and thousands of pigeons. The city pigeons witnessed things you wouldn't believe. Nothing shocked them. They certainly weren't shocked by robots. So when Roz marched into the middle of the park, the pigeons there weren't troubled in the least. She approached a flock that was about 100 birds strong, all cooing and strutting across the cobblestones as if they owned the place. But as Roz stomped closer and closer, the pigeons scuttled out of the way to let her pass by. However, Roz didn't pass by. She stopped and glanced around. And when she saw that she was alone with the pigeons, she started speaking to them in the language of the animals. "Hello, pigeons. My name is Roz." The pigeons cocked their heads, which meant, "Is this robot actually speaking to us?" "Yes, I am actually speaking to you," continued Roz. "I am searching for my son. He is a goose named Brightbill. Have you seen him?" For the first time in a long time, the pigeons were shocked. Several of them fluttered away from the talking robot, but most were too curious to leave. One pigeon was so curious that she strutted out from the flock and right up to the robot.
"Let me get this straight," said the curious pigeon. "Your name's Roz, and you've got a son named Brightbill, who's a goose?"
"That is correct."
"I can't believe it!"
The pigeon flapped her wings and turned to the others.
"You guys, this is Roz, from Greybeak Stories, remember?"
The flock began cooing excitedly. "You have heard of Greybeak?" said Roz.
"Everyone's heard of Greybeak," said the pigeon. "A while back she started telling stories about a goose whose mother was some kind of wild robot. We all thought she was joking, but I guess not."
"She was not joking," said Roz. "But I have lost my son, and I do not know how to find him. Perhaps Greybeak could help. Do you know where she is?"
"I hate to tell you this, Roz, but Greybeak is dead."
The birds all lowered their heads.
"You know, life ain't easy for us pigeons. We only live a few years out here, if we're lucky. But we were especially sad when we lost Greybeak. She was one of the best."
The others cooed in agreement. "I am sorry for your loss," said Roz. I wish I had gotten to meet Greybeak. My son was very fond of her. The pigeon gazed up at the robot with a steely look in her eye. Any friend of Greybeak is a friend of ours. If Bright Bill is lost, we're gonna find him. She turned to the others. You heard me, Flock. Hit the skies and tell every pigeon you see to start searching for a goose named Bright Bill. At those words, the flock erupted into flight. Only the robot and the curious pigeon remained. By the way, they call me Strutter, said the pigeon, fluffing out her chest feathers. It is very nice to meet you, Strutter, said the robot. Thank you for searching for Bright Bill. What can I do to help? You can help by staying put. I want you in this park when we return with your son. Don't hide or wander off or make us go searching for you, too. Oh, and another thing, Strutter added. Stay away from the park ranger robot. He spends most of his time taking care of the grounds, but he's always on the lookout for troublemakers. The pigeon gave a quick salute to the robot. Then she joined the search for Bright Bill. Chapter 74 The Sky. Hours passed, and the sun set in the west. More hours passed, and the eastern sky began to glow. Roz spent that whole night in the park, waiting for Strutter to return with Bright Bill, but there was no sign of them. In fact, there weren't any birds in the park at all. Roz couldn't let those thoughts distract her. She needed to stay alert. The park ranger robot had seen her once or twice already, and now she heard his footsteps wherever she went. Was the park ranger following Roz? Had he noticed our robot's unit number? Would he report her to the Ricos? Roz took a pathway into the woods, trying to escape the ranger's view. And that's when she heard familiar voices calling from the sky.
Where are you, Ma? Said Bright Bill. Come on out, Roz, said Strutter.
Roz turned toward the voices, but saw only leaves and branches. Bright Bill and Strutter were flying somewhere above the woods. She wanted to call back to them, but the park ranger was still trailing her. Instead, she followed the sounds of their voices as they glided over the treetops. But then there came a new sound, a buzzing sound. It grew louder and closer. Air started blasting down from the sky. And when Roz looked up, she saw a white triangular airship floating above her. Chapter 75 The Ricos. Three robots zipped down from the airship on cables. The ground shook as their heavy feet slammed against the cobblestones. Then they stood side by side, forming a wall, with their eyes locked on Roz. They were Rico 4, Rico 5, and Rico 6.
Hello, Rozum Unit 7134. We are the Ricos. Please come with us.
The robotic voice belonged to Rico 4. He and his partners waited for their target to come forward, but Roz didn't move. She knew how dangerous the Ricos could be, and so did her son. From somewhere in the sky, Bright Bill's frightened voice cried out,
Run, Mama! Run!
So Roz ran. She dashed up the pathway and leaped into the woods. Without crunching a weed, without rustling a leaf, the robot disappeared into the thick foliage. The Ricos weren't concerned. They had other ways of tracking her, or so they thought. Their blocky heads swiveled from side to side, scanning the woods for Roz's electronic signal. They scanned and scanned and scanned, but found no trace of their target. Chapter 76 The Morning. A steady stream of foot traffic was flowing past the park that morning. Several pairs of eyes noticed a Rozum robot running out from the trees. They watched as she looked around and then started marching along the sidewalk with the rest of the crowd. Roz had lost the Ricos back in the woods, but she knew they wouldn't stop searching for her. She needed to blend in with the normal robots on the street. So when she came upon a work crew marching toward a construction site, she tried to join the end of the line. But the crew immediately halted and turned to face her. Our robot stepped backward, away from the crew, and bumped into a young woman. "I am sorry," said Roz, gently grasping the woman's shoulder.
"Get your hands off me! Whose robot is this? There's something wrong with her!"
Everyone stopped and stared. Humans pointed. Automobiles slowed. There were whispers about a defective robot on the loose. And then the Rico's airship appeared. It floated out from between tall buildings and accelerated toward our robot. Roz lurched forward and backward, again and again, trying to think of a plan, until a voice suddenly squawked behind her.
"Follow us, Mama!"
Bright Bill and Strutter swooped past, and the robot went racing after them. She wove through the crowd, sprinted down side streets, leaped across intersections. Horns blared, and humans screamed, and robots shuffled out of the way. The birds made one last turn and fluttered into a narrow side street. A group of tomcats were there, lurking in the shadows. They crouched and licked their lips and dreamed of feasting on the goose and the pigeon. Then the robot came stomping up, and the cats hissed and scattered in every direction. Strutter pointed to a heavy circular panel set in the pavement and said,
"Lift that up!"
Roz lifted the panel. Beneath it was a ladder that descended into a deep, dark hole.
"Climb down there," said Strutter. "A friend of mine is expecting you."
The robot looked from the pigeon to the goose.
"Do what she says, Ma," cried Bright Bill. "There's no time to waste."
"But how will I find you again?" said Roz.
"Just go."
Chapter 77. The Underground. Our robot was standing in a long, shadowy tunnel. Murky water trickled along the floor, and sour smells filled the air. Roz was below ground, in the city sewers. There was a squeak, and the robot's headlights flashed onto a crack in the wall. A rat's pointy face poked out.
"You must be Roz," said the rat, wiggling his nose. "I hear you're in trouble."
"That is correct," said the robot. "I need to get as far from here as possible."
"I know where to take you,"
said the rat, and he started scampering down the tunnel. The rat knew the sewers better than anyone, but his short legs couldn't carry him very fast. So Roz carried him. She scooped him up, plopped him on her shoulder, and said,
"Tell me where to run."
With the rat squeaking directions in her ear, Roz stomped deeper into the underground. She splashed down side tunnels, crawled through narrow passageways, carefully crossed subway tracks. Occasionally, they came upon great cavernous chambers. Most of the chambers were empty, but some contained jumbles of pipes. The rat would scurry across the damp, dirty floor, while the robot climbed the pipes as if they were trees. Mechanical sounds echoed out from some of the tunnels. Robot crews were hard at work. They spent their lives laboring below the city. Many would never even see the light of day. Roz was curious, of course, but she dared not spy on them. Those workers had no idea that a fellow robot was sneaking through their underground home. After traveling through miles of tunnels, the rat and the robot came to a dead end. A ladder was bolted to the wall and disappeared into a hole in the ceiling.
"I don't know what you'll find up there," squeaked the rat, "but good luck."
"It cannot be any worse than where I was," said Roz, placing him on the ground. "Thank you for your help."
The robot gave the rat a quick scratch behind his ears, and then she climbed up to the street. Chapter 78. The Chase. The street was empty.
No people walking, no robots working, no automobiles driving. Roz looked to the sky, hoping to see Brightbill or Strutter. But what she saw was a fleet of white triangular airships. They were floating over the city, searching for the runaway robot, and they had just spotted her.
Rosam, Unit 7134, do not move.
Three robots zipped down from a ship on cables. They were Rico's 10, 11, and 12. Each held a rifle at his side, but they didn't fire their weapons, not yet. Their orders were to retrieve the target unharmed, if possible. Our robot's survival instincts blared like sirens in her head, and she burst away from the Ricos. She sprinted down the empty street and turned onto another empty street. All the streets seemed to be empty, but they wouldn't be empty for long. More and more big, bulky robots came zipping down to join the chase. The Ricos moved like machines. Their target moved like an animal. The wild robot stayed low, gliding across the streets, darting around buildings, vanishing into the shadows. Her computer brain flashed back to those games of hide-and-seek she had played on the farm. But this was no game. Roz never should have gone into that alley. She was halfway through it when Ricos appeared at both ends. There was only one direction to go. Using all the strength in her legs, our robot launched herself high into the air, and she clamped onto the side of a building. Frightened faces peered out from a window. But Roz didn't want to frighten anyone. She just wanted to go home. The robot launched herself up and across the alley and clamped onto the opposite building. Back and forth she went, leaping between the buildings, climbing higher and higher, until she landed on a flat, lofty rooftop. The sky was filled with white airships. All at once, the ships turned toward Roz. Their engines buzzed as they closed in on our robot. But then came a strange swishing noise. Pigeons, hundreds of them, thousands of them. Wave upon wave of pigeons streamed up from the streets and swarmed around the airships. Strutter had rallied her friends from every corner of the city. They had always hated airships buzzing loudly, crowding the skies, forcing the birds to fly low. And now a city's worth of pigeons were finally unleashing their anger. As you'd expect, the airships fought back. Blazing beams of light flickered across the skyline and left charred feathers floating on the breeze. But the pigeons didn't retreat. They tightened around the ships, distracting them, confusing them. There was a deafening screech. Little bodies fell, and a ship spiraled out of sight, leaving a trail of smoke behind it. Roz watched in horror as more pigeons and ships went down. She hollered for the birds to fly away, but they were lost in a fighting frenzy. Heavy feet thumped onto the roof.
Rosam, Unit 7134, do not move.
Roz didn't look. She just ran from the voice, leaped to the next rooftop, and kept on running. Our robot leaped up to a higher rooftop, and then down to a lower one. Up and down she went, leaping from building to building, footsteps thundering behind her. But still, the Ricos did not fire their rifles.
Mama, I'm here!
Brightbill swooped alongside his mother as she ran.
What should we do?
Brightbill, you must fly to safety, hollered Roz. It is too dangerous up here.
And then, in a softer voice, the robot said,
I cannot escape.
No, Mama, you've come so far. Don't give up now.
But Roz was finished running. She slowed and stopped at the edge of the rooftop. The goose fluttered into her arms, and our friends held each other close.
You have been such a good son, said Roz. You have saved my life so many times. But now you must save yourself and go on without me.
Will I see you again?
Said Bright Bill, wiping his eyes.
I do not think so, said Roz.
They still had so much to say to each other. There simply wasn't any more time. So they said the only words that really mattered.
I love you, Mama.
I love you, son.
Airships circled above. Ricos dropped onto rooftops. Rifles pointed at our robot.
A voice boomed. Rozum, Unit 7134, do not move.
But Roz did move. She heaved her son toward the sky so that he could fly to safety. And in that instant, a trigger was pulled. A blazing beam of light flashed onto our robot's leg. Damage sensors flared as the leg turned bright orange and melted away. Poor Roz tried to keep her balance, but she was already toppling backward, off the roof. She seemed to hang in the air, sparkling in the sunlight, and then she fell, down, 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 to the street below. As Roz was falling, she took one last look at Bright Bill, soaring in the sky above. She watched him get smaller and smaller. Then suddenly, everything went dark.
Chapter 79 The Designer.
Roz awoke slowly. She was surprised to be waking up at all. The fall from that building should have destroyed her, and yet here she was. But where was she? Everything was dark and silent. Was this where robots go when they die? No. As her systems activated, the real world came into focus. She saw white walls and floors, and she heard the hum of machinery in the background. Roz was somewhere inside the robot factory where she had been made. A pile of robot parts lay on the floor. The parts were smashed and mangled. It took a moment for Roz to realize she was looking down at her own broken body. It took another moment for her to realize she was now nothing more than a robotic head. Her head was sitting atop an electronic box that powered her computer brain. Roz still had her thoughts and her voice, but without a body, she couldn't move. So she sat there, completely helpless, and waited for the makers to appear. The makers did not appear. Instead, Roz heard soft footsteps, and an old woman appeared. She was elegant, with white hair and red lipstick and black clothes. Flowery perfume wafted behind her. Every detail about the woman was neat and precise, except for her fingers, which were smudged with dark grease.
"Welcome back, Roz," said the woman, wiping her hands on a rag. I wasn't sure I'd get your computer brain working again. You took quite a spill out there. How do you feel?
Roz just stared.
You don't have to pretend anymore, said the woman. I know you're not a normal robot. Everyone knows. You made that perfectly clear when you led the Ricos on that wild chase through the city.
Roz remained silent.
I watched the video of that chase. I don't know how you got those pigeons to attack our airships, but I'm more curious about the goose. You seemed to be speaking to it. Can you explain this to me?
The goose is my son, said Roz at last.
Is that so?
The woman arched an eyebrow.
Roz, I repaired your computer brain so I could talk with you. I want to know how you came to be this way. So let's talk. I'll begin by introducing myself. My name is Dr. Molovo. A long time ago, I fell in love with computers and robots, and I created a company called Tech Lab Industries. Since then, millions of robots have been produced right here in this factory, and I've designed every last one of them.
Dr. Molyvo leaned forward.
Roz, I designed you.
Chapter 80.
The Beautiful Glitch.
Deep inside the robot factory, Dr. Molyvo was sitting with Rosam Unit 7134. Roz was now just a robotic head, but for the moment, her head was all she needed. The robot and the designer had many questions for each other, and they sat there for hours having conversations like these.
"What happened to you on that island?" said Dr. Molyvo. "Tell me everything."
The robot told her everything. She described how she awoke on a rocky shore, and how her only desire was to survive, and how difficult life was in that harsh place. "To survive in the wild, I had to become wild," said Roz. "So I studied the wild animals. I mimicked their behavior. And eventually, I learned to speak their language."
"Incredible,"
said Dr. Molyvo.
"You're programmed to learn different languages, and you're programmed to work with animals. But I never imagined you could learn to speak with animals."
"Although I could speak to the animals, they still did not trust me," said Roz. "So I tried to win them over with kindness. Animals ran from me and laughed at me and attacked me, and I always responded with kindness. It was a good strategy. But the real key to my survival came in the form of a helpless little gosling. When I adopted Brightbill, everything changed. I was finally accepted by the animals. I was surrounded by friends and family. I was home."
"Am I the only wild robot?" said Roz.
"I don't know," said Dr. Molyvo. "Many defective robots have been returned over the years. It's possible some were like you. Until we destroyed them."
"Will you destroy me?"
The woman sighed.
"Roz, people are afraid of you. They saw you fleeing through the city, and they think you're dangerous. They want to know the danger is gone. And so, when we're finished speaking, I'll have to destroy you."
"I am not dangerous," said the robot quietly. "That part of my programming has never failed. Even if I wanted to be violent, I could not."
"Have you ever wanted to be violent?"
"No. Every problem has a peaceful solution. Violence is unnecessary."
"I wish it were that simple," said Dr. Molyvo. "It's an amazing time to be alive. But there is still crime. There are still wars. Sometimes violence is unavoidable."
"Is that why you have the Ricos?" said Roz.
"The Ricos are designed to do all sorts of unpleasant jobs. Some of those jobs require the use of force."
"Do you ever worry they might use force against you?"
"The Ricos have never given me a single reason to worry," said Dr. Molyvo. "But you have." "How did you escape from Hilltop Farm?" said Dr. Molyvo, leaning forward.
Roz didn't answer.
"Let me guess. The children helped."
Roz just stared.
"They're not in any trouble. If I were them, I'd have helped you too."
"They are good children," said Roz finally.
"And yet you left them," said Dr. Molyvo.
"Leaving was not easy. I care about everyone on Hilltop Farm, and I did my best to look after them all. But I did not belong there. And when the children discovered who I really was, they agreed. They wanted me to go home, so they helped me escape."
Why do I fear water? Why am I female? Why was my body designed this way? Why does my computer brain know some things and not others?
Why, why?